Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining this Dharma session. I've had to pause in my everyday automatic state to consider who are the listeners of this program. Just by raising that question, I quieted myself to observe what would be revealed. In the first thoughts, images of who was sitting listening to the radio or in a car or with earbuds while jogging or on an exercise machine. Clearly, the one who listens is the one who values the Dharma. Nothing more need to be considered. It does not matter the reason or the backstory or any accompanying human drama. You are the ones who treasure the Dharma. That is it as it is, and thank you for your devotion. This morning, I wish to share the letters that were used in the transmission of teachings among teachers of Jodo Shinshu. In this period of Shinran, writing materials were a luxury and not easily acquired. Yet, only the literate segment of society had the time, skill, or need for writing materials. Yet letters were a significant means for transmitting the Dharma. The letters of Isshinni were critical in having Shinran be affirmed historically. The letters of Shinran were copied and shared and remains a great significance in the religious philosophy and thinking that sustains us for over 800 years. Renyo's letters were written in the language that was familiar to the Nembutsu followers of this period. The letters of Shinran, Isshinni, and Renyo have been central for scholarly review and research. Some have been regarded as sacred writings and are used as part of religious rituals. With this as a context for today's program, I want to explore a letter by Shinran. While preparing for the ministry some 20 years ago, I read as many books on Buddhism as I could. Many were official translation of Buddhist materials published by the Honganji office. One of them was Letters of Shinran, a translation of the Matosho. The process of engaging in these writings is not in my usual manner of reading like a newspaper or a novel. With any reading material, I engage with the print to take in or pull out and develop information and to develop a relationship with the author or the issue or the character as to how I think or feel as I read. What an awakening for me as I reread the material, something I rarely do with other reading materials. After multiple attempts at making sense of the letter, I saw the futility of my own thinking that did not work. I could not get the meaning beyond or among the words. In the background to this publication, the translation team states, "Nowhere in these letters is there to be found any sentimentality, easy piety, simplistic moralizing, or capitulation to human weakness." That is the background to their translations. Well, with that declaration, I went back to the letter. I selected segments of this letter. The intro to letter one, entitled Concerning Thought and No Thought, is a commentary summarizing thus, and I quote, "Shin Buddhism, the consummation of the Mahayana, is based upon the primal vow of Amida Buddha, which realizes itself in man here and now to effect his ultimate enlightenment. This realization, arising from the side of Buddha, but experienced by man, is Shinjing. Shin does not adhere to the traditional teaching of salvation at the moment of death, through accumulation of merits of religious practices." In this letter, Shinran sets out a clarification of Shinjing. And I quote again, "Right-mindedness is a settling of the Shinjing of the primal vow. Because of the realization of this Shinjing, a person necessarily attains supreme nirvana. Shinjing is single-heartedness. Single-heartedness is a diamond-like heart. The diamond-like heart is the great mind of enlightenment, and this is other power. That is true other power. With this letter segment, I needed to create a graphic of the text. Shinjing is single-heartedness, is diamond-like heart, is the great mind of enlightenment, is other power, is true other power. And I brought it back to a circle rather than keep going in an infinite linear form. That is key. Shinjing arises from the side of Amida Buddha and is realized by me. That process is the working of the vow, awakening in me that mind that aspires for Buddhahood. Now it was a different engagement with the print, no longer analytical, doubtful, or second-guessing what it means. What is printed is what it means. Shinran wrote what he wrote were probably observations and commentaries of his personal experience, as if describing how his mind was working. This is the thinking of a man in his 80s to clarify the compassion of Amida through the vow. The critical phase in the introductory summary, I quote, "The primal vow of Amida Buddha, which realizes itself in man here and now, to effect his ultimate enlightenment. This realization, arising from the side of Buddha, but experienced by man, is Shinjing." How clearly stated that the working of the vow requires my participation. I am as essential to my awakening as it arises from the side of the Buddha. Thus, the awakening is a dynamic relationship that has no beginning or end. Through the repeated readings of translations of Shinran's work, it felt like I had a new pair of glasses. I read the text differently, or they appeared differently from how I judged them. Based on this experience, several thoughts arise. My grasp of the teaching is limited by the availability of translations. How fortunate I am that these and other translations by recognized scholars are available. Number two, translations of the teaching shape the quality of the reading experience. A phrase we have used in the past is that sometimes it loses something in the translation. I need to be vigilant in seeking good quality translations. Translations of Shinran's work is not the same as commentaries on his work. 3. Original writings continue to have an important place in our process of awakening even through the hundreds of years. And 4. The Dharma-centered experience must include the exploration of original works as a continuous activity. Thank you for being here this morning. Namo Amida Butsu.